Kunstradio, Radiokunst.
The Whole Thing's Coming Out of the Dark. Das ist der Titel eines künstlerischen Projekts, in dem Samuel Beckett's so bezeichnetes visuelles Schreiben im Zentrum steht. Idee und Konzeption stammen von Garbi Hattl und Klaus Bullert. Das Projekt kann man als eine Art Work in Progress auffassen. Phase 1 war die Produktion einer Radiofassung, die auch auf CD erschienen ist. Phase 2 wurde vorgestern am Freitag, den 24. März, in der Kunsthalle Wien realisiert, nämlich eine audiovisuelle Performance der Konzeption. Und voraussichtlich im Herbst 2001 kommt es dann zur Umsetzung von Phase 3, The Whole Thing's Coming Out of the Dark, als Multimedia-Veranstaltung in Karlsruhe. Doch zurück zu Phase 2 und der audiovisuellen Performance in der Kunsthalle Wien. Aus dem Mitschnitt dieser Veranstaltung ist eine Radiofassung entstanden, die im Rahmen der heutigen Ausgabe von Kunstradio präsentiert werden soll. Durch die Sendung begleitet Ursula Strupinski. Die für das Projekt ausgewählten Texte entstanden in unterschiedlichen Lebensphasen von Samuel Beckett. Sie haben aber etwas gemeinsam. Sie sind so bezeichnete Eyepieces. Es geht um die Schilderung von Beobachtungen, Überlegungen, Empfindungen, kurz Gedanken im Inneren des Protagonisten, die Bilder im Leser evozieren. Da ist der alte Mann in dem Text Company, der im Dunkeln auf seinem Bett liegend sich eine Stimme imaginiert, um der Angst zu entfliehen. Da gibt es die Schilderung von Gedanken während eines Spazierganges in dem Prosatext Limage. Und da geht es um die Romanfigur Molloy, einem Krüppel, der unter anderem drei Variationen zum korrekten Lutschen von 16 Kieselsteinen in Anwendung eines bestimmten Rotationsverfahrens erfindet. Letztere beschriebene Handlung wurde zur Spielanweisung für den Instrumentalisten Uwe Dirksen modifiziert. Er lässt mit Tonhöhenangaben versehene Zettel in insgesamt 4 Hüten rotieren. Die Texte von The Whole Thing's Coming Out of the Dark werden ineinander verzahnt. Wenngleich sie verschiedene Bedeutungsebenen transportieren, sollen sie sich auf diese Weise annähern. Die Töne der diversen Blasinstrumente sind gedacht als Kommentar oder auch Konturgeber. The Whole Thing's Coming Out of the Dark nun in der Radiofassung der Performance am 24. März in der Kunsthalle Wien.
A voice comes to one in the dark. Imagine. To one on his back in the dark. This he can tell by the pressure on his hind parts and by how the dark changes when he shuts his eyes and again when he opens them again. Only a small part of what is said can be verified. As, for example, when he hears, "You are on your back in the dark," then he must acknowledge the truth of what is said. But by far the greater part of what is said cannot be verified. As, for example, when he hears, "You first saw the light on such and such a day." Sometimes the two are combined, as for example, "You first saw the light on such and such a day, and now you are on your back in the dark." A device, perhaps from the incontrovertibility of the one to win credence for the other. That then is the proposition. To one on his back in the dark, a voice tells of a past, with occasional allusion to a present, and more rarely to a future, as, for example, "You will end as you now are." And in another dark, or in the same, another, devising it all for company. Quick, leave him. Use of the second person marks the voice. That of the third, that cankerous other, Could he speak to and of whom the voice speaks, there would be a first. But he cannot. He shall not. You cannot. You shall not. Apart from the voice and the faint sound of his breath, there is no sound. None at least that he can hear. This he can tell by the faint sound of his breath. Though now even less than ever given to wonder, he cannot but sometimes wonder if it is indeed to and of him the voice is speaking. May not there be another with him in the dark, to and of whom the voice is speaking? Is he not perhaps overhearing a communication not intended for him? If he is alone on his back in the dark, why does the voice not say so? Why does it never say, for example, you saw the light on such and such a day, and now you are alone on your back in the dark? Why? Perhaps for no other reason than to kindle in his mind this faint uncertainty and embarrassment. Your mind, never active at any time, is now even less than ever so. This is the type of assertion he does not question. You saw the light on such and such a day, and your mind, never active at any time, is now even less than ever so. Yet a certain activity of mind, however slight, is a necessary complement of company. That is why the voice does not say, you are on your back in the dark and have no mental activity of any kind. The voice alone is company, but not enough. Its effect on the hearer is a necessary complement. Were it only to kindle in his mind the state of faint uncertainty and embarrassment mentioned above. But company apart, this effect is clearly necessary. For were he merely to hear the voice and it to have no more effect on him than speech in Bantu or in Urse, then might it not as well cease? Unless its object be, by mere sound, to plague one in need of silence. Or, of course, unless, as above surmised, directed at another.
Rule number one, distribution of notes. Pocket one, 3 notes. Pocket two, 3 notes. Pocket three, 3 notes. Pocket four, 3 notes. Rule number one, take note one from pocket one. Put it into mouth and suck it, play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note one after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets. Take note two from pocket one. Put it into mouth and suck it. Play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note two after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets.
All notes in all pockets. Take note three.
Take note three from pocket one.
Put it into mouth and suck it.
Suck it. Play it.
Play it.
Play it.
Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note three after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Take note four from pocket one.
Take note four.
Put into mouth and suck it.
Suck it. Play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note four after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
A small boy, you come out of Connolly's stores holding your mother by the hand. You turn right and advance in silence southward along the highway. After some 100 paces, you head inland and broach the long steep homeward. You make ground in silence, hand in hand, through the warm, still summer air. It is late afternoon, and after some 100 paces, the sun appears above the crest of the rise. Looking up at the blue sky and then at your mother's face, you break the silence, asking her if it is not in reality much more distant than it appears. The sky, that is. The blue sky. Receiving no answer, you mentally reframe your question, and some 100 paces later, look up at her face again and ask her if it does not appear much less distant than in reality it is. For some reason you could never fathom, this question must have angered her exceedingly, for she shook off your little hand and made you a cutting retort you have never forgotten.
Take note one from pocket one, put it into mouth and suck it, play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note one after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets. Take note two from pocket one. Put it into mouth and suck it. Play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note two after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets.
All notes in all pockets. Take note three.
Take note three from pocket one.
Put it into mouth and suck it.
Suck it. Play it.
Play it.
Play it.
Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note three after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
The tongue gets clogged with mud. Only one remedy then, put it in and suck it. Swallow the mud or spit. Question to know whether it is nourishing and views. Though not having to drink often, I take a mouthful. It's one of my resources, lasting moment with that. Question to know whether if swallowed it would nourish an opening of views. They are not bad moments. Tire myself out, that's the point. The tongue lulls out again, rosy in the mud. What are the hands doing all this time? One must always see what the hands are doing. Well, the left, as we have seen, still holds the sack. And the right, well, the right, after a while, I see it. Way off at the end of its arm, full stretch in the axis of the clavicle, if that can be said, or rather done, opening and closing in the mud, opening and closing. It's another of my resources. This small gesture helps me. I know not why. I have such little devices that assist me along. even when hugging the walls under the changing skies. Already I must have been quite shrewd. It mustn't be that far, a bare yard, but it feels far. It will go someday by itself on its four fingers, thumb included, for one is missing, not the thumb, and it will leave me. I can see how it throws its four fingers forward like grapnels. The hand sinks, pull. And so with little horizontal hoist, it moves away. This I do appreciate, to go like that piecemeal. And the legs, what are the legs doing? Ah, the legs. And the eyes, what are the eyes doing? Closed, to be sure. No, since suddenly there in the mud.
I got into communication with my mother by knocking on her skull. One knock meant yes, two no, three I don't know, four money, five goodbye. I was hard put to ram this code into a ruined and frantic understanding, but I did it in the end. That she should confuse yes, no, I don't know, and goodbye was all the same to me. I confused them myself. But that she should associate the four knocks with anything but money was something to be avoided at all costs. During the period of training, therefore, at the same time as I administered the four knocks on her skull, I stuck a banknote under her nose, or in her mouth, in the innocence of my heart. For she seems to have lost, if not absolutely all notion of mensuration, at least the faculty of counting beyond two. It was too far for her. Yes, the distance was too great from one to four. By the time she came to the fourth knock, she imagined she was only at the second, the first two having been erased from her memory as completely as if they'd never been felt. Though I don't quite see how something never felt can be erased from the memory. And yet, it is a common occurrence. She must have thought I was saying no to her all the time, whereas nothing was further from my purpose. Enlightened by these considerations, I looked for, and finally found, a more effective means of putting the idea of money into her head. This consisted in replacing the four knocks of my index knuckle by one or more, according to my needs, thumps of the fist on her skull. That she understood.
By the voice, a faint light is shed. Dark lightens while it sounds. Deepens when it ebbs. Lightens with flow back to faint full. Is whole again when it ceases, you are on your back in the dark. Had the eyes been open, then they would have marked a change. Whence the shadowy light? What company in the dark? To close the eyes and try to imagine that. Whence once the shadowy light? No source. As if faintly luminous, all his little void. What can he have seen then above his upturned face? To close the eyes in the dark and try to imagine that. Another tray, the flat tone. No life. Same flat tone at all times. For its affirmations, for its negations, for its interrogations, for its exclamations, for its imperations. Same flat tone. You were once. You were never. Were you ever? Oh, never to have been. Be again. Same flat tone. Can he move? Does he move? Should he move? What a help that would be when the voice fails. Some movement, however small, were it but of a hand closing, or opening if closed to begin. What a help that would be in the dark, to close the eyes and see that hand, palm upward, filling the whole field, the lines, the fingers slowly down, or up, if down to begin, the lines of that old palm. There is, of course, the eye, filling the whole field, the hood slowly down, or up, if down to begin, the globe, all pupil, staring up, hooded, bared, hooded again, bared again.
I took advantage of being at the seaside to lay in a store of sucking stones. They were pebbles, but I call them stones. Yes, of this occasion I laid in a considerable store. I distributed them equally between my four pockets and sucked them turn and turn about. This raised a problem, which I first solved in the following way. I had, say, 16 stones, four in each of my four pockets, these being the two pockets of my trousers and the two pockets of my greatcoat. Taking a stone from the right pocket of my greatcoat and putting it in my mouth, I replaced it in the right pocket of my greatcoat by a stone from the right pocket of my trousers, which I replaced by a stone from the left pocket of my trousers, which I replaced by a stone from the left pocket of my greatcoat, which I replaced by the stone which was in my mouth as soon as I'd finished sucking it. Thus, there were still four stones in each of my four pockets, but not quite the same stones. And when the desire to suck took hold of me again, I drew again on the right pocket of my greatcoat, certain of not taking the same stone as the last time. And while I sucked it, I rearranged the other stones in the way I've just described, and so on. But this solution did not satisfy me fully.
for it did not escape me that by an extraordinary hazard, the four stones circulating thus might always be the same four. In which case, far from sucking the 16 stones turn and turn about, I was really only sucking four, always the same, turn and turn about. But I shuffled them well in my pockets before I began to suck, and again while I sucked before transferring them, in the hope of obtaining a more general circulation of the stones from pocket to pocket. But this was only a makeshift that could not long content a man like me. So I began to look for something else.
You are alone in the garden. Your mother is in the kitchen making ready for afternoon tea with Mrs. Coote, making the wafer-thin bread and butter. From behind a bush, you watch Mrs. Coote arrive, a small, thin, sour woman. Your mother answers her, saying, "He is playing in the garden." You climb to near the top of a great fir. You sit a little, listening to all the sounds. Then throw yourself off. The great boughs break your fall, the needles. You lie a little with your face to the ground. Then climb the tree again. Your mother answers Mrs. Coote again, saying, "He has been a very naughty boy." In another dark, or in the same, another devising it all for company. This at first sight seems clear, but as the eye dwells, it grows obscure. Indeed, the longer the eye dwells, the obscurer it grows. Till the eye closes, and freed from pore, the mind inquires, "What does this mean? What finally does this mean that at first sight seemed clear?" Till it, the mind too, closes, as it were, as the window might close of a dark empty room, the single window giving on outer dark. Then nothing more. No. Unhappily, no. Pangs of faint light and stirrings still. Unformulable gropings of the mind. Unstillable.
From pocket one, put it into mouth and suck it.
Suck it. Play it.
Play it.
Play it.
Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note five after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Take note six from pocket one.
Take note six from pocket one.
Put into mouth and suck it.
Suck it. Play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note six after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets.
All notes in all pockets. Take note seven from pocket one. Put it into mouth and suck it. Play it. Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note seven after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets. Take note eight from pocket one.
Suck it. Play it.
Play it.
Play it.
Replace it in pocket one by a note from pocket three. Replace it in pocket three by a note from pocket four. Replace it in pocket four by a note from pocket two. Put note eight after sucking it in pocket two. Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
I might do better to transfer the stones four by four instead of one by one. That is to say, during the sucking, to take the 3 stones remaining in the right pocket of my greatcoat and replace them by the 4 in the right pocket of my trousers, and these by the 4 in the left pocket of my trousers, and these by the 4 in the left pocket of my greatcoat, and finally these by the 3 from the right pocket of my greatcoat, plus the 1, as soon as I'd finished sucking it, which was in my mouth. Yes! It seems to me, at first, that by so doing, I would arrive at a better result. But on further reflection, I had to change my mind and confess that the circulation of the stones 4 by 4 came to exactly the same thing as their circulation 1 by 1. For if I was certain of finding each time in the right pocket of my greatcoat 4 stones totally different from their immediate predecessors, the possibility nevertheless remained of my always chancing on the same stone within each group of 4, and consequently of my sucking not the 16 turn and turn about as I wished, but in fact 4 only, always the same turn and turn about. So I had to seek elsewhere than in the mode of circulation. For no matter how I caused the stones to circulate, I always ran the same risk. It was obvious that by increasing the number of my pockets, I was bound to increase my chances of enjoying my stones in the way I'd planned. That is to say, one after the other until their number was exhausted. Had I had 8 pockets, for example, instead of the 4 I did have, that even the most diabolical hazard could not have prevented me from sucking at least 8 of my 16 stones turn and turn about. The truth is, I should have needed 16 pockets in order to be quite easy in my mind. And for a long time I could see no other conclusion than this, that short of having 16 pockets, each with its stone, I could never reach the goal I had set myself, short of an extraordinary hazard. And if at a pinch I could double the number of my pockets, were it only by dividing each pocket in 2 with the help of a few safety pins, let us say, to quadruple them seemed to be more than I could manage, and I did not feel inclined to take all that trouble for a half measure. For I was beginning to lose all sense of measure after all this wrestling and wrangling, and to say all or nothing. And if I was tempted for an instant to establish a more equitable proportion between my stones and my pockets by reducing the former to the number of the latter, it was only for an instant, for it would have been an admission of defeat. And sitting on the shore, before the sea, the 16 stones spread out before my eyes, I gazed at them in anger and perplexity.
Rule number 2, distribution of notes. Pocket 1, 3 notes. Pocket 2, 3 notes. Pocket 3, 3 notes. Pocket 4, 3 notes. Rule number 2. Take note 1 from pocket 1. Put into mouth and suck it. Play it. Take all 2 remaining notes out of pocket 1. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 2. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 3. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 4. Put all 2 remaining notes of pocket 1 into pocket 4. Put note 1 after sucking, playing it into pocket 4.
Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Take note 2 from pocket 1. Put it into mouth and suck it.
Take all 2 remaining notes out of pocket 1. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 2. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 3. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 4. Put all 2 remaining notes of pocket 1 into pocket 4. Put note 2 after sucking it into pocket 4. Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets. Take note 3 from pocket 1. Put into mouth and suck it. Play it. Take all 2 remaining notes out of pocket 1. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 2. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 3. Replace them by all 3 notes from pocket 4. Put all 2 remaining notes of pocket 1 into pocket 4. Put note 3 after sucking it into pocket 4.
Concentrate and shuffle all notes in all pockets.
Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets.
We are looking at me. I pull in my tongue, close my mouth and smile. A sinful face, the girl is less ugly. It's not with her I am concerned. Me, pale, hair brush cut, red pudding face with pimples, protruding belly, a gaping fly, spindly legs, wide as straddle for greater stability, knocking at the knees. Fitz plate, 35 degrees minimum, fatuous, half smile to posterior horizon, figuring the morn of life, green tweeds, yellow boots, car sleep or such like in a buttonhole. Again, a bad turn in world of a kind to bring us fleetingly, not ramp, but face to face, at 90 degrees, transfers of things, mingling of hands, swinging of arms, stillness of dog, the ramp I have. 3, 2, 1, left, right off we go, shins up, arms swinging, the dog follow, head sunk, tails on balls. Nothing to do with us. It had the same notion at the same instant. Malbranche, less rosy, the erudition I had then. If it stops to peace, it will peace without stopping. I feel like shouting, plant it there and run, cut your throat. 3 hours of measured steps and here we are on the summit. The dog askew on its hunkers in the heather. It lowers its muzzle on its black and pink penis, too tired to lick it. We, on the contrary, again about turn intros, transfer of things, mingling of ends, swinging of arms, a silent relishing of sea and isles, heads pivoting as one to the city fumes, silent location of steeples and towers, head back front as though on an axle, brief fog.
Imagine closer the place where he lies, within reason. To its form and dimensions, a clue is given by the voice afar. Receding afar, or there, with abrupt saltation, or resuming there after pause. From above and from all sides and levels, with equal remoteness at its most remote. At no time from below. So far. Suggesting one lying on the floor of a hemispherical chamber of generous diameter with ear dead center. How generous? Given faintness of voice, at its least faint, some 60 feet should suffice, or 30 from ear to any given point of encompassing surface. So much for form and dimensions. And composition? What and where clue to that, if anywhere? Reserve for the moment. Basalt is tempting. Black basalt. But reserve for the moment. So he imagines to himself, as voice and hearer Paul. But further imagination shows him to have imagined ill. For with what right affirm of a faint sound that it is a less faint made fainter by farness, and not a true faint near at hand? Or of a faint fading to fainter, that it recedes and not in situ decreases? If with none, then no light from the voice on the place where our old hearer lies. In immeasurable dark. Leave it at that for the moment. Adding only, what kind of imagination is this, so reason written? A kind of its own. Crawls and falls. Lies in the dark with closed eyes resting from his crawl. Recovering, physically, and from his disappointment at having crawled again in vain. perhaps saying to himself, why crawl at all? Why not just lie in the dark with closed eyes and give up? Give up all. Have done with all. With bootless crawl and figments comfortless. But if on occasion so disheartened, it is seldom for long. For little by little, as he lies, the craving for company revives.
One day, suddenly, it dawned on me, dimly, that I might perhaps achieve my purpose without increasing the number of my pockets or reducing the number of my stones, but simply by sacrificing the principle of trim. The meaning of this illumination, which suddenly began to sing within me like a verse of Isaiah or of Jeremiah, I did not penetrate at once. And notably, the word trim, which I'd never met with in this sense, long remained obscure. Finally, I seemed to grasp that this word trim could not here mean anything else, anything better than the distribution of the 16 stones in four groups of four, one group in each pocket, and that it was my refusal to consider any distribution other than this that had vitiated my calculations until then and rendered the problem literally insoluble. And it was on the basis of this interpretation, whether right or wrong, that I finally reached a solution. Inelegant, assuredly, but sound, sound. All that was necessary, was to put, for example, to begin with, 6 stones in the right pocket of my greatcoat, or supply pocket, 5 in the right pocket of my trousers, and 5 in the left pocket of my trousers. That makes the lot, twice 5, 10, plus 6, 16, and none, for none remained, in the left pocket of my greatcoat, which, for the time being, remained empty. Good, now I can begin to suck. Watch me closely. I take a stone from the right pocket of my greatcoat, suck it, stop sucking it, put it in the left pocket of my greatcoat, the one empty. I take a second stone from the right pocket of my greatcoat, suck it, put it in the left pocket of my greatcoat, and so on, until the right pocket of my greatcoat is empty, and the 6 stones I have just sucked, one after the other, are all in the left pocket of my greatcoat. Pausing then, and concentrating so as not to make a balls of it, I transfer to the right pocket of my greatcoat, in which there are no stones left, the 5 stones in the right pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 5 stones in the left pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 6 stones in the left pocket of my greatcoat. At this stage, then, the left pocket of my greatcoat is again empty, while the right pocket of my greatcoat is again supplied, and in the right way. That is to say, with other stones than those I have just sucked. These other stones I then begin to suck one after the other, and to transfer as I go along to the left pocket of my greatcoat, being absolutely certain, as far as one can be in an affair of this kind, that I am not sucking the same stones as a moment before, but others. And when the right pocket of my greatcoat is again empty, and the 5 stones I have just sucked are all, without exception, in the left pocket of my greatcoat, then I proceed to the same redistribution as a moment before, or a similar redistribution. That is to say, I transfer to the right pocket of my greatcoat, now again available, the 5 stones in the right pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 6 stones in the left pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 5 stones in the left pocket of my greatcoat. And there I am, ready to begin again. Do I have to go on?
Rule number three. Distribution of notes. Take note one from pocket one. Put into mouth and suck it.
Suck it, play it, put it in pocket two. Take note two from pocket one. Suck it, play it, put it in pocket two.
Take note three from pocket one.
Note three from pocket one. Suck it, play it, put it in pocket two. Take note four from pocket one. Suck it, play it, put it in pocket two. Pause and concentrate.
Transfer 4 notes from pocket
Transfer
three to pocket
four
one.
Notes from pocket three to pocket one.
Replace them by 4 notes from pocket four.
By 4 notes from pocket four.
Replace them by 4 notes from pocket two. Take note 5 from pocket one.
Suck it, play it, put it in pocket two. Take note 6 from pocket Circuit, play it. Put it in pocket two. Take note seven from pocket one.
Suck it, play it.
Play it, put it in pocket two. Take note eight from pocket one. Suck it, play it, put it in pocket two.
Pause and concentration. Transfer four notes from pocket three
to
pocket one.
Transfer four notes from pocket three
to
pocket one. Replace them by four notes from pocket four. Replace them by four notes from pocket two.
Pause and concentrate. You may shuffle all notes in all pockets.
And here we are again, eating sandwiches, alternate bites, I, mine, she, hers, and exchanging endearments. My sweet girl, I bite, she swallows. My sweet boy, she bites, I swallow. We don't yet cool with our bills full. My darling girl, I bite, she swallows. My darling boy, she bites, I swallow. Brief fog. And here we are again, as we dwindle across the pastures, hand in hand, arms swinging, heads high towards the heights, smaller and smaller, out of sight. First the dog, then us. The scene is cleared up. Some animals, the sheep, like granite upcrops. A horse, I insist, standing motionless, back bent, head sunk. Animals know blue and white of sky. April morning in a mud. It's over. It's done. Dark. The scene is empty. A few animals still then goes out. No more blue. I stay here way off on the right in the mud. The hand opens and closes. That helps. It's going. Let it go. I realize I'm still smiling. There's no sense in it. No. Been none for a long time. The tongue comes out again, lulls in the mud. I stay like this, no more thirst. The tongue goes in, the mouth closes. It must make a straight line. Now it's done. I've done the image.
It was something more than a principle that I abandoned when I abandoned the equal distribution. It was a bodily need. But to suck the stones in the way I have described, not haphazard, but with method, was also, I think, a bodily need. Here then were two incompatible bodily needs at loggerheads. Such things happen. But deep down, I didn't give a tinker's curse about being off my balance, dragged to the right hand and the left, backwards and forwards. And deep down, it was all the same to me whether I sucked a different stone each time or always the same stone until the end of time, for they all tasted exactly the same. And if I'd collected 16, it was not in order to ballast myself in such and such a way or to suck them turn about, but simply to have a little store so as never to be without. But deep down, I didn't give a fiddler's curse about being without. When they were all gone, they would be all gone. I wouldn't be any the worse off, or hardly any. And the solution to which I rallied in the end was to throw away all the stones but one, which I kept now in one pocket, now in another, and which, of course, I soon lost, or threw away, or gave away, or swallowed.
The room here, in any case, farewell. The place is windowless. When, as you sometimes do, to void the fluid, you open your eyes, dark lessens. Thus you, now on your back in the dark, once sat huddled there, your body having shown you it could go out no more. Out no more to walk the little winding back roads and interjacent pastures, now alive with flocks and now deserted. With at your elbow for long years your father's shade in his old tramping rags, and then for long years alone, adding step after step to the ever mounting sum of those already accomplished, halting now and then with bowed head to fix the score, then on from naught anew. You, now on your back in the dark, shall not rise again to clasp your legs in your arms and bow down your head till it can bow down no further. But with face upturned for good labor in vain at your fable, till finally you hear how words are coming to an end, with every inane word a little nearer to the last. And how the fable, too. The fable of one with you in the dark. The fable of one fabling of one with you in the dark. And how better in the end, labor lost and silence. And you, as you always were. Alone.
The Whole Thing's Coming Out of the Dark, eine Gemeinschaftsproduktion von Bayerischen Rundfunk, ORF, Kunsthalle Wien, Intermedium, Deutschlandradio und ZKM. Als Sprecher zu hören waren Natasha Perry, Barry McGovern und Raymond Featherman. Uwe Dirksen spielte verschiedene Blechblasinstrumente. Weitere Informationen zu der heutigen Ausgabe von Kunstradio gibt es wie gewohnt auf der Kunstradio-Homepage. thing.at/ORF Kunstradio. Durch die heutige Sendung begleitet hat Ursula Strubinski.